Welcome, everybody, to the Wednesday night Bible study here at the Six Eyes Radio Network. This is Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang saying welcome one, welcome all to the Wednesday night Bible study and the Six Eyes Gospel Bus brought to you by Holiness Bibles for the Blind at Holiness, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, Bibles, plural, for, F-O-R, theblind.org. As we get rolling out here tonight, first we're going to open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we want to thank you again for another day. In you, we have another way, Lord Jesus. We ask you, Lord, right now that you would touch that soul who is nearest hell. Help them to reel up the white flag surrender, saying, I yield, Lord Jesus, knowing that your word said, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So let this day be their day. Let them get in contact with us so we can rejoice with them in their newfound joy, Lord Jesus. And then for the team of the Six Eyes Radio Network, we ask a special blessing, do pray, Lord Jesus, so they could keep on keeping on for you, whether mental, spiritual, physical, or financial, Lord Jesus. And then for your children, we ask the same blessing and do pray, Lord Jesus, so they could keep on keeping on for you. And then, Lord Jesus, for those dealing with COVID-19, first of all, the family and friends who've lost someone due to COVID-19, we ask you, Lord Jesus, you to touch and comfort them as only you can through your Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus. And then for those dealing with COVID-19, as we speak, Lord Jesus, we ask you to raise them up out of the bed of affliction as only you can, Lord Jesus. And then finally, Lord Jesus, for situations like George Floyd and many other wicked situations just like that we read about in the newspaper, hear about on the news, on the television or radio set, Lord Jesus, we ask you to help us to love our neighbors as ourselves. In so doing, we'd be loving the omnipresent neighbor who is you, Lord Jesus. Now we ask and pray all this in your mighty and precious name. Amen and amen. All right, so now we're going to get ready to roll out here with the Six Eyes Gospel Bus brought to you by Holiness Bibles for the Blind at Holiness, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, Bibles, plural, for, F-O-R, theblind.org. Wanting to say to those who called 424-243-9617, again, 424-243-9617, press the number one, join the conversation. You can ask your questions, give your comments, your prayer praise, prayer requests, or any of those kind of things. We'd be glad to hear from you as we get rolling out here with the Six Eyes Gospel Bus brought to you by Holiness Bibles for the Blind at Holiness, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, Bibles, plural, for, F-O-R, theblind.org on the Wednesday night Bible study here at the Six Eyes Radio Network. All right, and Sister Ruth, who do we got on the old gospel bus tonight?
Well, got the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, band of angels, and we're always glad they're there, and you and me.
Well, well, well. But, hey, Sister Emily asked for a prayer. I forgot the lady's name, but we asked for that prayer unspoken for Sister Emily, as she always says, for the first responders, for herself, unspoken, for those working in nursing homes and hospitals, for those, of course, our police forces and our military, for those in the government, as George would say, got to get our country right. And we want to pray for all of our preachers here, the Six Eyes Radio Network, for their clarity of thought, clarity of mind, clarity of speech, especially tomorrow night, as we will be having our Six Eyes Tag Team preachers coming together with a message on forgiveness tomorrow night. So we want to pray for that. Pray for our ministry for a bus. And, of course, we thank God that now these doctors figured out what's been causing my crazy cough. It ain't so serious as we thought, but at least we'll be getting some solution to it. They're going to send me some med for that, so we thank God for that. And so that's an answered prayer, so we want to thank God for that. And, Ruth, what do you got for us? And then we're going to go ahead
and get rolling on the Six-Eyes Gospel Bus tonight.
Well, I'm praying for all the people that you mentioned, especially Emily, and I think Lila isn't on right now, but she probably will later, I don't know. And they found out I have some kind of dehydration, so just have to kind of drink more water. So pray for that, and we'll just go on. Have a good show.
So you're singing, "How Dry I Am."
That's it.
All right. Well, with that, and you don't see no one joined in, have you?
No, but if they happen later on, I'll let you know.
Well, we'll catch them at the end of the show. We always still have open mic at the end of the show. So anybody wants to join in, they know that we still take prayer requests at the end of the show. But for right now, let's do a hoedown for Jesus. Amen.
Oh, then When I reach that promised land, well, I look way over Jordan. I saw people dressed in white. I know they were God's children, Lord, 'cause I see them do the light. Thank you.
So many dangers, Lord.
contact with us here at the Six Eyes Radio Network, there are three email addresses you may use to get in contact with us. First of all, if you wish to get in contact with me, Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang, about any kind of Bible questions that you may have or regarding the programming here or complaints about programming, you may contact me at feelandtouchking@gmail.com. That's feel like you do at your fingertips, F-E-E-L, letter N as Nancy, touch like you do at your fingertips, T-O-U-C-H, king like the guy who sits on a throne, wears a crown, K-I-N-G, at gmail.com. In your subject line, you just put what you're in reference that you're wanting to get in contact with me about. Secondly, if you wish to get in contact with Ruth about her Bible prophecy, you would contact her by kjv1611ruth@gmail.com. That's K as King, J as Jackson, V as Victory, 1611, R as Randy, U as Umbrella, T as Tom, H as Henry, at gmail.com. Again, kjv1611ruth@gmail.com. In your subject line, put Bible prophecy. And thirdly, last but not least, if you wish to get a hold of Brother Six Eyes about any of his Six Eyes Music Studio Productions work, where you can get recordings made, whether album, commercial, etc., or if you wish to get donation information for the station here at the Six Eyes Radio Network, you contact him at sixeyes6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. Again, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. In your subject line for him, you put what you're in reference that you're wanting to get a hold of him about. And in all three cases, in your body of your message, refer it to your subject line, and we will not only read your message, but we will get back in contact with you. Amen. Enjoy great programming here on the Six Eyes Radio Network 7 days a week by calling 424-243-9617 and 424-243-9617. Press the number 1, join the conversation, and it all gets started here on Sunday. For the Sunday Gospel Show, get your praise on without leaving the house, 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. On Monday, get motivated. Monday with Pastor Kenneth Bonnet, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific, on Tuesday. Mics on the Word of the King on Six Eyes Radio, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific. Then on Wednesday, it's time for Bible study with the Wednesday Bible Study Show and the Six Eyes Gospel Bus. Brought to you by Holiness Bibles for the Blind at holinessbiblesfortheblind.org. With Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang, with great music and scripture, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 Pacific. Then on Thursday, don't let me. Program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network, the one and only program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network that could be felt, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific, on Friday
with AJ and the Squad.
With AJ and the Squad, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. And last but not least, it's open programming on Saturdays. It is time now for the Six Eyes Bible Memory Verse of the Week. This week we are going into Psalm 150 and verse 6. Psalm 150 and verse 6.
Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord.
And aren't you glad? The Bible says it's not just us. He tells humankind, but he says everything that hath breath, everything that hath breath, praise ye the Lord. Amen. Found in our Six Eyes Bible Memory Verse of the Week, Psalm 150 and verse 6. Amen.
Fallen on my knees 'cause that faith, her agency, the anchor holds inside of the storm. I've had visions, and I've had dreams, and I've even held it in my hands, but I never they would slip right through like they were rolling in the rays of sun. But the anchor holds, the ship is battered. The anchor
It's a great old gospel tune that I found in my grandmother's hymn book. I have inherited grandma's hymn book, mom's hymn book. For those of you in Cochrane and Illinois, that's Mrs. Thomas Buttrey's hymn book. And this one was written in the 1920s, and it's called And Yet There Is Room. A glad invitation is ringing today, and yet there is room, and yet there is room. The feast is made ready, oh, do not delay.
And yet there is room at the cross. And yet there is room, and yet there is room. Though millions have come, there still is room. To the sad and heartbroken, His promise is spoken, and yet there is room at the cross. So go out in the highways and bid them to come. And yet there is room, and yet there is room. The friendless, the hopeless may here find a home. And yet there is room at the cross. And yet there is room, and yet there is room. Though millions have come, there still is room. To the sad and heartbroken, His promise is spoken. And yet there is room at the cross. The sin sick, the guilty, the lost of this race. And yet there is room, and yet there is room. They may come seeking mercy and pardoning grace. And yet there is room at the cross. And yet there is room, and yet there is room. Though millions have come, there still is room. To the sad and heartbroken, His promise is spoken, and yet there is room at the cross. The hungry, the thirsty are there satisfied, and yet there is room, and yet there is room. The portals of mercy are still open wide, and yet there is room at the cross. And yet there is room, and yet there is room. Though millions have come, there still is room. To the sad and heartbroken, His promise is spoken, and yet there is room at the cross. To the sad and heartbroken, His promise is spoken, and yet there is room at the cross.
Are you mine all life through? Will you kiss me when I'm blue? Will you whisper I love you and make all my dreams come true? Will you share the good and bad? Bring me joy when I am sad. Tell me, darling, are you mine and only mine? Are you mine?
Yes, I am.
All the time?
Yes, I am.
Mine alone?
Yes, sirree.
All my own?
Yes, sirree. No one else will ever do. I'll be yours and I'll be true.
Don't worry, dear, have no fear, 'cause I'm yours. Are you mine? Tell me, dear. Will I always have you near? Will the love light always shine in your heart just like in mine? Will you give as well as take? Keep the vows that you will make. Tell me, darling, are you mine and only mine? Are you mine?
Yes, I am.
All the time?
Yes, I am.
Mine alone?
Yes, sirree.
All my own?
Yes, sirree. No one else will ever do. Yes, and I'll be true.
Don't worry, dear, have no fear, 'cause I'm yours. Are you mine, Richard, poor? Tell me, darling, are you sure? Will you whisper, yes, I do, and forever love me true? Will you honor and obey? Will you promise not to stray? Tell me, darling, are you mine and only mine? Are you mine?
Yes, I am.
All the time?
Yes, I am.
Mine alone?
Yes, sirree.
All my own?
Yes, sirree. No one else will ever do. I'll be yours and I'll
worry, dear, have no fear, 'cause I'm yours. Are you mine?
Yes, I am.
All the time?
Yes, I am.
Mine alone?
Yes, sirree.
All my own?
Yes, sirree. No one else will ever do. I'll be yours and I'll be true.
Don't worry, dear, have no fear, 'cause I'm yours. Don't worry, dear, have no fear, 'cause I'm yours.
Cleansing power, are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed?
Are you washed
in the blood?
In the blood?
In the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Lay aside the garments that are stained with sin and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Are you washed? In the blood,
in the blood,
in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb. Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Yes, Christ, yes. Thank you.
Witness Bibles for the Blind is a missionary outreach to the physically and spiritually blind, providing reference material as well as Bibles, as well as other material to help those who are visually inconvenienced. Also, we educate those in the body of Christ as to the needs and abilities of those who are visually inconvenienced. We would appreciate a love gift from you to help us keep our ministry going. There are several methods you can do to help keep us going. First off, you could visit our website, holinessbiblesfortheblind.org. That's HOLINESSBIBLESFORTHEBLIND.ORG. Once you put that in your browser and you click enter, go down the home page to where it says Love Offerings. Click that. And you will be on our secure PayPal button and secure PayPal page. You there can use your credit card or PayPal account to give a secure donation to Holiness Bibles for the Blind. Also, you can send a check or money order to Holiness Bibles for the Blind. You send that to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, payable to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, P.O. Box 471, Ashtabula, Ashtabula, Ohio, 44005. Again, send your check or money order to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, made payable to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, P.O. Box 471, Ashtabula, Ashtabula, Ohio, 005. And God will richly bless you for your love gift, and we here at Holiness Bibles for the Blind thank you very, very much. Amen. And now it is time for Tim Gruber and his Hebrew Word of the Week. Amen.
Hello there. This is Timothy Gruber coming to you with this week's Hebrew Word of the Week. And the word for this week is holy. And the Hebrew word for holy is kadosh. Kadosh. K is in Kelly, A is in Adam, D is in Daniel, O, S, H, kadosh. It's holy. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. 5. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, with twain he covered his feet, with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, 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 kadosh, kadosh, kadosh is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. And it's my prayer, dear listener, that if you have yet by faith to behold your eyes spiritually, the King, the Lord of hosts, who is kadosh, 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 holy, 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 then you will get a glimpse of his holiness by faith this day, by the power of his spirit working in your heart, and that you must see yourself as you are apart from him, undone, unclean, and that you will look to him for the cleansing that comes through the holy kadosh blood of the Lamb, the Messiah of Israel, the Lord Jesus Christ, Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. So next time, this is Brother Timothy Gruber saying, God bless you and yours.
Would you like to help keep shows like this one on the air? Well, there are several methods you can do to help that happen. First off, if you're a PayPal user, go to paypal.com and enter the following email address, 6ies6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. If you're a Cash App user, go to Cash App, enter $ S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit 2, digit 4, again, $ S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit 2, digit 4, and in both cases, you enter the dollar amount of your love gift, and we here at the Success Radio Network thank you very, very much, and God will richly bless you. Also, if you wish to send a check or money order to the Success Radio Network, contact Brother Six Eyes at his email address, sixeyes6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. Again, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. In your subject line, write donation information requested. In the body of your email, request the information for the pay to and snail mail information for your check or money order, explaining you wishing to send a check or money order to donate to the Six Eyes Radio Network. And once again, God will richly bless you, and we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much.
My tongue can accuse. Be careful of stones that you throw. A neighbor was passing my garden one time. She stopped and I knew right away that it was gossip, not flowers, she had on her mind. And this is what I heard my neighbor say. That girl down the street should be run from our midst. She drinks and she talks quite a lot. And she knows not to speak to my child or to me. And my neighbor then smiled, and I thought. A tongue can accuse and carry bad news. The seeds of distrust it will sow. But unless you make no mistakes in your life, be careful of stones that you throw. A car speeded by and the screaming of brakes, a sound that made my blood chill. My neighbor's one child had been pulled from the path and saved by a girl lying still. The child was unhurt, and my neighbor cried out, oh, who was that brave girl so sweet? I covered the crushed, broken body and said, the bad girl who lived down the street. A tongue can accuse and carry bad news. The seeds of distrust it will sow. But unless you make no mistakes in your life, be careful of stones that you throw.
Bye. spoke the words and all the world came into order. You waved your hand and fled us to celestial sky. You placed the woman and the man inside the garden, and though they fell, they found some heaven in your eyes.
Oh Lord, I've been amazed at the wonder of it all. Where the greater wonder brings me to mind. But I pray to you, not for all the mighty that you have done. But I worship you because of who you are.
One holy night you brought your promise from a virgin, and promise grew as he revealed to us your heart. Enduring love displayed throughout his crucifixion, and in the dark before the grave and death afar.
Oh Lord, I've been amazed.
Blindly I may grope, and the memory of your helping hand
will buoy me on with hope. Should you go first and I remain to finish with the scroll, no less than shadows shall ever creep in to make this life seem droll. We have known so much of happiness, and we've had our cup of joy, and memory is the one gift of God that death cannot destroy. I want to know each step you take, that I may walk the same, for someday down that lonely road, you'll hear me call your name. Should you go first and I remain, one thing I'll have you do, walk slowly down that long, long path, for soon I'll follow you. In that fair homeland, we'll know no parting. Beyond the sunset, and it was very quiet. This press officer was standing over me,
Then I saw this doctor. My body was so mangled, I was saturated with blood. Pieces of jagged glass were sticking out all over my body. And I thought it strange that I didn't feel anything. Hey, mister, don't pull that sheet over my head. I can't be dead. I'm only 17. I got a date tonight. I'm supposed to grow up and have a wonderful life. I can't be dead. But later, I was placed in a morgue on a cold slab, and my folks had to identify me. Oh, why did they have to see me like this? Why did I have to look into my mom's eyes when she had just been through the most terrible ordeal of her life? And my dad, he suddenly looked like an old man as he told the man in charge, yes, that's our son. And my father, it was a real experience. I saw all my relatives and friends walk towards my casket. They passed by one and looked at me with the saddest eyes I guessed I'd ever seen. Some of my buddies were crying, and my girlfriend touched my hand and sobbed as she walked away. Please, somebody, wake me up and get me out of here. I can't bear to see my mom and dad so broken up, and my grandparents are so racked with grief they can barely walk. And my brother and sister are like zombies, walking around in a daze. Please, somebody. No one can believe this, and I can't believe it myself. Please don't bury me. I can't be dead. I have a lot of living to do. I want to laugh and run again. I want to sing and dance. Oh, please don't put me in the ground. I promise if you give me one more chance, God, I'll be the most careful driver in the whole wide world. All I'm asking is one more chance, God. Please, I'm only 17.
Hey, baby. I will be there shortly. Hope you are there. Hope the food is ready. Can't wait.
Really? Was it worth it? Now he'll never make dinner, never again, and several people won't make it home. Texting. It can wait. No texting while driving. Brought to you by Six Eyes Radio.
This commercial was also brought to you by Blind Trucking of Ashtabula. Keep your hands on the wheel and your eyes on the road. Amen.
All right, tonight we have a very interesting message out of Daniel chapter 1, verses 1 to 16. Daniel chapter 1, verses 1 to 16. We're going to read the whole passage as one unit tonight.
In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar, to the house of his God, and he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. And the king spake unto Aspenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well-favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning in knowledge and understanding, science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, of whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now among these were of the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names, for he gave unto Daniel the name of Belteshazzar, and to Hananiah of Shadrach, and to Mishael of Meshach, and to Azariah of Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who hath appointed your meat and your drink, for why should he see your faces worse liking than the children which are of your sort? Then shall ye make me endanger my head to the king. Then said Daniel to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Then let our countenances be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat, and as thou seest, deal with thy servants. So he consented to them in this matter, and proved them 10 days. At the end of 10 days, their countenances appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. Thus, Belzar took away the portion of their meat and the wine that they should drink, and gave them pulse.
All right. In this chapter, as you can see, the very introduction of Daniel and his companions. And what's interesting is, as we find, first they're put into captivity because, obviously, the sin, the children of Israel, that had been predicted by the prophets. So now, what happens? The first thing that happens is these guys are given names, Babylonian names, which we're not even going to concern ourselves with because they're pagan names. But Daniel and his companions, they're given, along with some of their other companions, wine to drink and the king's meat to eat. Now, the other companions, you notice, other than these four men, these other guys, they, let's just eat the king's meat and drink the king's wine. You notice that in the story? They follow, these other folks all follow the crowd and do what the king wants. But Daniel and his three companions said, no way. No way. So the prince of the eunuchs, who's in charge of these men, Daniel approaches him. Now, he's come into favor with this prince of the eunuchs, and he approaches him. He says, and I'm going to kind of modernize this for our listeners here, dear listener. He says, hey, buddy, hey, chum, I'm not going to do what the king wants. I don't want to eat the king's meat. I don't want to drink the king's wine. That don't interest me. Would you do me a favor, pal? Me and the three other buddies here, we don't want to do that. We want pulse to eat. It's a type of food that the Jewish people find as what they call kosher, meaning it's acceptable for the Jewish people. And we'll accept water. But we're not going to eat the king's meat, and we're not going to drink the king's wine. And, of course, Prince of the Eunuchs looks at Daniel and says, well, buddy, I really don't have a problem with that, but there is a problem, buddy. There's a problem, Daniel. If I give in to your request, which I have not a problem with, there is a problem. If you eat what you're wanting to eat and drink what you want to drink, and then all of a sudden you show up in front of the king and your countenance and your bodies look like you just come out of a concentration camp and you look like you've not eaten 4 months and you look like you're starving, the king is going to have my head. My life is going to be a jeopardy, Daniel. Now, buddy, I'm not sure I want to take that chance. So what are we going to do about this, buddy? I really don't want to risk my life just because you want to do something different. I can understand your point here, but I don't want to risk my life. And Daniel looks at him and says, well, buddy, I can understand your predicament. So how about this little compromise? How about this compromise, okay? And Prince of the Eunuchs says, well, buddy, what kind of compromise are you thinking about? He says, Daniel says, here's what we'll do. Me and my three companions, you let us eat pulse and drink water for 10 days. And you prove us, that means let us allow our diet to settle into our bodies and do what we want it to do. And after 10 days, you check us out. That's what the word prove means. Let us let it go through, and then you check us out. That's what it means by proving. You check us out. And then you compare us to the others who have compromised, who are willing to eat the king's meat, who are willing to drink the king's wine. You compare us to them. And then, as you see, our countenances and our bodies, the way our bodies respond, if we look like we're starting to lose weight and we're looking horrible, then so be it. Okay, we'll yield. But on the other hand, pal, if we look not like we're coming and losing weight and whatever, then you'll know. You would have proved beyond a shadow of a doubt that our diet is not going to affect us and your head won't be in jeopardy. You won't be in jeopardy of your life. Prince of the Eunuch says, Well, Daniel, now that sounds like a real plan here. Real good plan, Daniel. Tell you what, like you said, for 10 days, we'll go ahead and I'll let you do that. So he takes away their portion of the king's meat and the king's wine for 10 days. And he comes back after 10 days and he looks at them and he compares them to what the other people that had been eating the king's meat and drinking the king's wine. And he looks at them. He compares the two. And lo and behold, not only have they maintained their weight, but actually they are actually gaining weight and are looking better than their companions. King of the Eunuchs says, wait a minute. Their diet is actually better than the king's diet. I won't be risking my head. If anything, these guys are actually looking better. So, I guess Daniel's right. So, he takes away that diet from them that would have been prescribed for them by the king, and gives them the pulse to eat and the water to drink for the rest of their time. But you notice what the king had wanted? Something interesting here. Something very interesting. He was looking for men from Israel, men that were of understanding, men of science, etc. Did you catch that? Why? So that they could teach him their tongue, teach him their knowledge was, the things that they had learned. Why is that so important? Well, may I remind you of the New Testament and Matthew chapter 2. It talks about, in Matthew chapter 2, that there were some wise men who came from the east. They saw the star in the east, and they came from the east. Who were these men? Obvious, they came from this area where Daniel was. These are men that are descendants of Daniel in Babylon, the school that was there, the school of science, the school where they had studied not astrology, but rather astronomy, which is a field of science that studies the stars. But these men didn't just study astronomy to say, okay, this is Venus, this is Mars, and this is the way they move. These are where these planets and where Aries and Nunki and so on, Antares and all these stars are and what they do. This is the Big Dipper, this is the Little Dipper, et cetera, the Milky Way. They weren't just studying these stars to say, okay, this is where these stars are and this is what they do in the fields of stars and how they rise and set and all that. No, they studied them to see what signs they can get from the constellations. Remember what it says in Genesis. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 1 that the signs were given to us for signs, for seasons, for days, and for years. Now, that list, signs, seasons, days, and years. The Bible says the stars were given to us for those four points. Which one seems to be out of place? Signs, seasons, days, years. Signs. It's pretty obvious signs, because seasons, that's winter, fall, spring, summer. Those are seasons. Those are basically some sort of time. Days, those are another form of time. And years, those are, once again, another period of time. But signs are not a form of time. So the Bible tells us that we could look for signs in the stars. Now, when you drive down the road, you come up to that little eight-sided sign that's bordered in white, got a four-letter, capital letter word, all capital letters, in white, and it's red, and it says stop. Now, wrong to look at that sign and obey it?
No. But if you get out of your car, walk up to it, kneel down on the ground in front of it, and start worshiping it, that'd be wrong. So there's a difference between worshiping a sign and obeying a sign and doing what it says, using it for some sort of direction. Well, when you see signs in the stars and get some sort of direction from them and say, okay, they have a meaning and try to understand the meaning in the stars, and you gain knowledge from those signs, there's nothing wrong with that. But when you try to say that those stars have influence on your life, that is wrong, because when you start saying they have influence on your life and you start worshiping the house of heaven, the stars, that is wrong. See, there's the big difference between astrology, worshiping the stars, worshiping them, as versus to astronomy, which is the study of the stars and study of the constellations, and as they did in Daniel's day, studying them as science. And by the time they got up to the days in Matthew, where they understood the signs in the stars, and those magi, those wise men who came from the east, they understood those signs and said, hey, these stars are telling us that there's a new king to be born in Israel. They understood, when they read the signs in the stars, they understood king, they understood Israel, they understood the sign, but they didn't worship it. They came to worship the king, not the stars. So, there's nothing wrong with science when you use it for God's glory. When you use science to go and say there is no God, then there's a problem. So, the Bible does say, the fool has said in his heart there is no God. But what we want to emphasize here is that you can take a sign. You take a sign and use it for direction, but you can't take a sign and worship it. Amen. So there is one sign that's given in our Bible. It says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So let this day be your day. And get in contact with us so we can rejoice with you in your newfound joy. Amen. And now it is time for Sister Ruth to tell us the common message between this song and this poem. Amen.
The Apostle Paul was writing to the fold. He said, be brave, be confident, be bold. For you know the crown of life awaits you when your trials here on earth have come and gone. Now there will come many prophets who'll speak falsely. You must stand firm toe-to-toe and eye-to-eye. Tell them Jesus was exactly who he claimed to be. And his words must not be compromised. So I won't compromise the message of the gospel. I'll raise my hand and take a stand for what is right. He didn't compromise for me when he died on Calvary. The word of Christ I will obey.
The apostles' message still applies today. For there are those who'd like to live their own way. They ignore the writing found in God's holy word, and his message gets compromised away. Oh, but I'll stand for the truth and for the light, and let his holy word through me keep shining bright. He's the one who gave his life for me at Calvary, so his word I just won't compromise. So I won't compromise the message of the gospel. I'll raise my hand and take a stand for what is right. He didn't compromise for me when he died on Calvary. The word of Christ I will not compromise.
Some because it's hot, and some because they're getting old, and some because they're not. Some stay at home to entertain, and some to cook the dinner, and some because they're good enough, and some because they're sinners. Some stay at home because their hat, the milliner's not finished, and some because their liking for the minister has diminished. Some stay at home because their clothes are looking old and shabby, and some because their special type of piety is flabby. Some stay at home because they have a farm and lots of stock, and therefore cannot spare the time to gather with God's flock. Some stay away because their beaux care nothing for the church, and some because a special friend has left them in the lurch. And some declare they don't enjoy the singing of the choir, and others because their fellow saint aroused their wrathful ire. Some stay away because they've long and single harness tarried, and some because, as they protest, they're settled down and married. Some keep from church because they find the members cold and funny, who never clasp them by the hand unless they're after money. And some bewail with pious face the worldliness and sin that find lodgment in the church, so never enter in. Alas, alas, excuses grow to drive our thoughts from God and turn us from the house of prayer, the place our Savior trod.
All right, Ruth, now that you've heard that song and that poem, could you give us the common message between the two?
Yeah, don't compromise the message of the gospel and take a stand for the Lord.
Would you say that's your final answer? Well, you did end it with a bang. You got it 100% correct. And now you end with 17 for 26. Amen.
Amen to that. I'm happy. And I hope Emily has a good time next.
And we're going to see if Emily can outdo you, or maybe even better than Pastor Bonnet. That's the goal, to see if she can do better than all of y'all. And so we'll continue with our program. Amen. Hallelujah. And now it is that time for Ruth and her Bible prophecy. Amen.
When the beast shall walk among us, and many shall fall away. Famine, war, and desolation, nation rising against nation, trouble everywhere you turn. As in the time of Noah, in
and murder, creep and sorrow, just like Sodom and Gomorrah, this world is gonna burn.
Is a new birth. Michelangelo carved his celebrated statue of David from a cast-off block of marble, which had received so deep an indentation that it was unusable under a less daring chisel. The same that Christ deals with unslaved humanity. No other hand, the hand of omnipotence, could take a sinful man and shape him into a saint of God who will one day stand before the presence of the glory of God, redeemed in the likeness of the Godhead. Perhaps you're listening at a moment when your mind and heart are troubled with the cares of this life or any one of 100 or more different distressing situations. Yet nevertheless, with persistent kindness and loving concern, I must prevail upon you so that you will, with me, as it were, sitting right there beside you. Seriously, consider this most important passage of Scripture. It not only concerns everybody in the world, but it vitally concerns your personal eternal well-being. Here's the Scripture. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. John 3:7, KJV. This verse of Scripture, Jesus Christ was telling the learned Nicodemus he needed to personally experience the new birth. I dare to say that no one listening to this is as important a position as for Nicodemus. I dare say that no one listening to is better educated or in a better political or ecclesiastical position than was Nicodemus. The Bible speaks of him as a ruler of the Jews as well as a member of the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin was the highest Jewish tribunal during the Greek and Roman periods. It was composed of 70 members, together with the president, who was a high priest. The members probably held office for life, and their successors were very likely appointed by the existing members themselves or by the supreme political authorities. Only pure-blooded Jews were eligible for the office of judge. In the criminal court, the same principle was in effect for a man to become a member of the Sanhedrin. It was this man, Nicodemus, a member of the Sanhedrin, who came to Jesus Christ by night and made inquiry relative to the new birth. All around us today, there are multiplied millions of people going about their daily vocations, involved in their social functions and domestic routines, busily acquiring this world's goods and receiving the gracious acknowledgments and plans of men. But the one factor missing in their lives is the marvelous regenerating work of the new birth. It's true there are many political substitutes for the new birth, which those who do not actually possess this Holy Spirit working miracle are substituting, and so many people today are using them to try and fill the vacuum, which is so evident in their lives. There's a long list of substitutes such as church membership, reformation, good works, confirmation, water baptism, confession of sins on a routine basis to another human being, going to church at Easter and Christmas, taking part in many religious activities, and becoming involved in a multitude of local, social, and municipal functions. All of them provide substitutes for the new birth. They all leave the individual an absolutely complete stranger to the marvelous working power of the Holy Spirit in the life of a believer, and they fail to give him the new birth. The Bible says you must be born again. There's absolutely no substitute for that experience. Nothing else can take the place in your life of that which the new birth will accomplish. Please remember that it's not a rebirth or a warmed over, hashed over, emotional wounding that went sour previously, but the scripture declares that it's a new birth. Years ago, in the days when the Salvation Army was popular for its Saturday night street meetings, during one such gathering, right after the hearty singing of the old hymn, Whiter Than Snow, one man who was standing on the street corner, listening very attentively, said to his unsaved friend, "Buddy, there's a big difference between being whitewashed and being washed white." The new birth is a no human work. It's not a matter of popular substitutes such as church membership, reformation, confirmation, shaking hands with the preacher, or showing up at Easter or Christmas, occupying a dreary vacuum in your life, but it's a divine work brought about in the individual's life by God Almighty through the Holy Spirit. For instance, relative to the new birth, we are told that every person who was formerly a hell-bound sinner who has experienced the new birth is actually born of God. You know what it means to be born of your mother and father. All you have to do is look in the mirror and you see the physical results. That's physical birth. So the scripture says that if you are experienced a new birth, you have exceedingly potent power unleashed in your own life. You must be born of God. Here's what the Bible says. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, but nor the will of man, but of God. John 1:12-13, KJV. That makes us Christians run around the block several times and praise the Lord. Verse 12 tells us, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. In other words, God delegates power to a repentant sinner, which enables him to be saved, to be born of the Spirit of God, to have the sanctifying and cleansing power of the Holy Spirit come into his life. Not only is that individual born of God, but the scripture tells us that he's born of the Spirit. This has reference to the third person of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit, taking up an abode in a person's body. Scripture, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and then heareth the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. That's John 3:8, KJV. In September 1862, President Lincoln issued the Emancipation Proclamation for all the slaves living in the South. It granted freedom to everyone, regardless of individual circumstances or desires. This very moment, God's grace offers forgiveness, salvation, and cleansing to all, Regardless of the past and through the plan of salvation, God wants to give each person in the world today the new birth. The story is told of a young Jewish lad whose father told a professor in a theological seminary how this 18-year-old son went to the rescue mission and came home saying, "Father, they've got the real thing down there. Why have I not been told of it before and given an explanation of how to become a Christian?" This young man had been reared in a strict home, and he was active in the ancient religion of his father and mother, but never once had he ever had any light shed on the matter of the new birth. Therefore, I declare unto you, it's possible for an individual to be highly educated, possess a long list of well-earned degrees after his name, be socially accepted, be prominent in civic affairs, be a good husband and provider for his family, be well-liked and have a pleasing personality, yet live a life of absolute waste and of no effect all the days of his life, and at death go down into a Christless eternity simply because he was a stranger to the new birth. That's why Jesus Christ was so careful instructing Nicodemus. Somehow Nicodemus had heard of the teachings of Jesus of Nazareth, and he was seriously troubled in his own heart, even though he was actually politically and religiously acceptable in his community. Nicodemus knew that deep down on the desolate cavern of his soul, there was an absolute void and an emptiness which he wanted filled. He wanted it filled with that which would satisfy him for all time and eternity. That's why Jesus Christ said unto him, "Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again." John 3:7 KJV. A person is born of the Spirit of God, and the marvelous, miraculous working power of the Holy Spirit begins to animate his life. It's not because he's doing something by his own initiative, but it's because there is an incorruptible seed of divine righteousness growing inside of him. Please let us explain by a verse of scripture from the New Testament. Here it is, the scripture, "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever," 1 Peter 1:23. In other words, God places a manifestation of himself in that individual's heart when he's born again. The incorruptible seed of God is in that person. You see, it doesn't say we're born of physical seeds because physical seeds reproduce themselves, and they soon perish, but the incorruptible seed is the word of God, which is eternal. Yeah! That's when this verse of scripture, which we just read, says, please note, it says, "being born again by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever." The same phrase is used two verses later where we read, "but the word of the Lord endureth forever." Another marvelous truth which has helped so solidify me in my understanding of the new birth is the fact that this wonderful transforming power is actually brought about by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. In other words, I was not redeemed or born again because I was asked to teach lessons like this and then a year later ordained into a ministry. Now, I'm not ordained, so the Lord doesn't want me to do that. Although such ceremonies as those are important and they have their place, they have nothing to do with my salvation, my new birth. You may be a member of a good church, and your church may be associated with an acceptable denomination, or it may be independent, and you may be faithful and dedicated to your church. Yet unless the precious blood of Jesus Christ has been applied to your sinful nature as a member of Adam's race, you're lost, undone, and unfortunately on your way to hell. Read about what the scripture has to say about the blood of Jesus Christ, and please note the important position God gives us to his son's shed blood in relationship to a sinner's conversion and new birth. Here's the scripture. "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." 1 Peter 1, 18-19 KJV. In the moment of great victory, in the Battle of Chancellorsville, Stonewall Jackson was dangerously wounded. As he was being carried to a field hospital, Dr. Hunter McGuire clamped the artery in the shoulder of the wounded general with his finger so the tourniquet could slip there with no fatal bleeding for General Jackson. Life, my dear listener, is in the blood. Just pierce one of your veins and let the blood drain out of your body and you will soon die. Therefore, the regenerating power of spiritual life is in the blood of Jesus Christ. We've been redeemed from our sinful lives with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Moses called all the elders of Israel together and instructed them to select the lamb, kill the innocent little animal, take a bunch of hyssop, dip it in the blood, and paint the lintel and two side posts of the doorway with the blood of the lamb. On the Passover night, God told Moses, "The Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians, and when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come into your homes to smite you. Exodus 12:23 in your King James Version. Therefore, not only were you a hell-bound sinner, but now a son of God through the miracle of a new birth, born of the Spirit, begotten by the word of truth, born of incorruptible seed, which remaineth in you, but you are also redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, the Lamb slain before the foundations of this world were ever established. Martin Luther once had a dream in which he stood before God on the day of judgment, and Satan was wildly accusing him. When the books were opened, Satan pointed to transgression after transgression of which Luther was guilty. The story says that Luther's heart sank in grim despair, but suddenly he remembered the cross of Calvary, and returning to the devil in bold words, he said, "There is one entry in the book which thou hast not seen, Satan." "What is it?" inquired the devil. "It is this," answered Luther. "The blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin." 1 John 1:7, KJV. Therefore, as a child of God, who is born of God, born of the Spirit, and born of incorruptible seed, you're also redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, which was shed on Calvary's cross almost 2,000 years ago. The songwriter captured the magnificent truth of this great doctrine when he wrote, "There's a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty sins. The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day, and there may I, though vile as he, wash all my sins away. If since my faith I saw the streams by flowing wounds supply, redeeming love has been my theme and shall be till I die." When a person is actually born again, there is no condemnation, not only in this life, but neither in his heart. Let us consider a most comforting verse from the Bible. "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death." Romans 8:1-2, KJV. Wonderful words, and praise God, that's true. The word condemnation is a harsh one, and it has to do with passing adverse judgment or disapproval of a strong nature to inflict a penalty upon, to declare unfit for use or service, or dispel a person's doom. You'll note that this portion of Scripture tells us there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. This is further borne out in John's Gospel, where we read, Scripture, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him, God's Son, might be saved. He that believeth on him, God's Son, is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and the men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." John 3:17-19 in your KJV. To all of you who are born again, you can thank God on bended knee that the devil can never accuse you, because your sins are under the blood of Jesus Christ. You are now a new creature in Christ Jesus, and in your heart there dwells the incorruptible seed of God through the miracle of the new birth, which brought about the writing of your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Another overwhelming evidence that a person actually possesses the new birth is the witness of the Holy Spirit with his Spirit. In case you don't know what I mean, God says that when a person is actually born again, God's Spirit will witness with his Spirit, telling him that he is a child of God. Whether you know it or not, everybody born into the world has a spirit. That spirit means in the body as long as there is physical life in it. During the course of your lifespan, when you experience a new birth, God's Spirit will come down from heaven and witness with the Spirit inside you, telling you that you're a partaker of the new birth. Scripture, the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Romans 8:16, and that's KJV, and I'm still excited about that. That's praise the Lord. So important is the transaction of salvation to a sinner's heart that God doesn't take anything for granted, but he sends his Holy Spirit into the sinner's heart, and God's Spirit communes with the individual spirit, reassuring him of eternal life through Jesus Christ. When such heavenly assurance is established, from the moment on, that individual can know eternally that his name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life and all is well with his soul. The story is related by a Christian army officer that years ago, when the English government sent a company of soldiers into the Middle East to quell a political uprising, the medical department quickly erected a temporary hospital because the soldiers were already being carried to a place of safety for treatment of their wounds. There was a Christian soldier inside one of the tents, a young lad who had been born of the Spirit of God previously and washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. As he lay on his bed, one could see the delirious agonies of death written on his face. Nearby a sentry was on duty, marching to and fro. Suddenly the sentry and a military command tones, "Halt! Who goes there?" Automatically, the person being stopped replied with the password, "All is well." Those words, though exchanged during a military encounter, gently floated through the open doorway of the hospital tent and fell upon the ears of the dying Christian soldiers. His face lighted up with the very glory of God, and looking up into the face of his nurse, he said, "I thank God that through the shedding of the precious blood of Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross, all is well with my soul." As he closed his eyes in death, his last whispered words were, "All is well, all is well, all is well." Can you say that? Are you sure you have experienced a new birth and your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Yes, I can say that, praise the Lord. An outstanding physician who lived in Edinburgh, Scotland, was asked one day, "What would you consider the greatest discovery you ever make?" He replied, "The day I met Jesus Christ face to face and accepted him as my Savior." Whether you know it or not, everybody born into this world had his name written in the Book of the Living at that time. This particular book refers to physical life. Let us read the verse of Scripture which substantiates the statement. "Let them be blotted out of the Book of the Living and not be written with the righteous." That's Psalm 69:28. In other words, once a child is born into this world, somewhere up in heaven in the great bookkeeping system of the glory land, that child's name is written in a book called the Book of the Living. When once a child reaches the age of accountability and comes to the time of life when he knows the difference between right and wrong and sins a willful sin, his name is taken out of the Book of the Living because he has actually transgressed the law of God, he sinned, and as the Bible says, he is dead in trespasses and sins. Ephesians 2:1. Later in life, when that person hears the gospel, and this could be in any number of 100 different ways, such as Sunday school, public worship services, children Bible storybooks, TV or over the radio, though the hearing or reading of the Word of God, the marvelous transforming work of regeneration begins to take place in his life, and he experiences a new birth. As the scripture says, he passes from death unto life. John 5:24, KJV. Once it takes place, even though the individual may not understand even 1/20th of a million of the details involved or may not know anything about theology, he's a new creature. 2 Corinthians 5:17, KJV. When the new birth takes place in his heart, he's no longer a condemned sinner, but a forgiven one. And the Bible says his name is written in another book called the Lamb's Book of Life. All the names of the born-again people, those who experience a new birth, are recorded in this book. Whether you ever experienced or noticed it or not, in the scripture, which tells the time when the people of all ages are gathered for the great white throne judgment, a little statement says, the books were opened. Revelation 20:12, KJV. In other words, a search is going to be made of the Book of Life, which contains all the names of all people who were ever born. Lamb's Book of Life will also be there, and the heavenly secretaries, who will be the angels, will make search of that book to see if, perchance, any of the folk being judged have their names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. No person who has his name written in the Lamb's Book of Life will be judged at the White Throne Judgment, but it's possible that he might be judged at the judgment of the Christian works, which will take place approximately 1,000 years before the White Throne Judgment. Okay, 2 Corinthians 5:10. Any another evidence which reveals that an individual has been born again and experienced a new birth is the fact that he does not love, worship, or become involved in the things of the world. Whether you're familiar with it or not, the phrase, the things of the world, are reference to a system of activities of this world, which, generally speaking, are ungodly and definitely lack a spiritual influence. Let us read a portion of Holy Divine Writ relative to this matter. Love not the world, for the things that are in the world. If a man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. 1 John 2:15-17, KJV. In order to be a true born-again child of God, it's absolutely necessary for a person not to fall in love with the things of this world. For instance, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life are of the world. In other words, when you see a so-called Christian spending most of his time in the things of this world, becomes irritable or disinterested when you invite him to become interested in the things of God, in all probability, you're looking at a person who is a backslidden spiritual condition or who has never truly experienced a new birth, but is hiding behind a camouflage of modern Christianity, something more than a sham, a fake or pure old-fashioned hypocrisy. God speaks of the Christian as a sheep. Remember, he told Simon Peter, the fisherman, "Feed my sheep." In other words, when a person is truly one that has experienced a new birth, he becomes interested in the things spiritual sheep enjoy. In an illustration in a sermon showing the difference between a mere professor of Christ and a genuine Christian, a pastor pictured people as swine or sheep. He declared that if a person's nature was still Adamic and his sins were not forgiven and he was turned out of the church because of sin in his life, he'd act like a hog. But if his nature had been changed through the new birth and that he was a spiritual sheep, even though he had sinned, he would not want to be turned out, but would wistfully long to again be in fellowship with those in the church. That's why the scripture tells us, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. 1 John 2:15, KJV. In England, there's a monument erected to the memory of a group of gypsies. One evening after work, 30 gypsies, forkers in the hop fields, were driving rapidly and carelessly across a bridge, singing and laughing when the wagon crashed into the railing, throwing wagon horses and gypsies into the swift rushing river. One young gypsy grabbed onto a horse which was drifting downstream and, mounting it, watched earnestly and anxiously for his mother, who had also involved in the unfortunate accident. So as he saw her, he took hold of her arms and tried to rescue her, but she struggled so desperately that he realized he was going to be pulled back into the river again if he continued to hold on to her. Nothing remained for him to go but let her go. 3 days later, after most of the bodies, including his mother's, had been recovered and they were being buried in the local churchyard cemetery, before he had tried to save his mother, knelt beside the long trench containing the several coffins of those who had perished and cried out in anguish of soul, "Mother, mother, I tried to save you. I did all I could do, but you wouldn't let me save you." That's the exact situation which prevails in the world today. All around us, we see the teeming multitudes going about their daily activities, and we approach them relative to spiritual matters. In some cases, they immediately begin to object violently, withdrawing themselves from the very thing which could give them happiness and security. Long centuries ago, before God ever brought this world into existence, he purposed in his mind to make a way of salvation so everybody in the world would have a forgiveness of sin, peace with God, and assurance of eternal life. That's why the Bible tells us, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." John 3:16, KJV. When David Livingstone, the great missionary, tried to explain the philosophy of God's plan of salvation to the unregenerated Africans for the first time, they asked him, "Teacher, how could one man die for the whole human race?" In an endeavor to make God's plan of salvation to that primitive race of people, Livingstone put his hand into his pocket and brought out two coins, one a British copper penny and the other a small glittering gold sovereign. He explained that in his country, the little gold coin, which was not as large as the penny and did not weigh as much, was actually worth 240 times more than one copper penny. He said the difference in value was the result of the inherent intrinsic value of the metals. He explained that God's holy, perfect, well-beloved Son was worth a whole world of guilty, lost, condemned sinners. In other words, Jesus Christ, who was righteous and in whom dwelt no sin, was the only one who could cancel man's Adamic sins. That's why the writer of the book of Hebrews declares unto us, "But this man, Jesus Christ, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, for by one offering himself, he perfected forever them that are sanctified." Hebrews 10, 12, and 14, King James Version. God loves everybody in the world, whether they are sinners steeped in their sins or whether they're forgiven sinners with their names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's why the Bible tells us, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." John 3:16 and 17, KJV. He was trying to illustrate the love of Christ in his morning message. A Scottish minister told the story of a mother who took her little infant boy one afternoon, went over the other side of one of the Scottish hills. During the trip, a snowstorm came up and she lost her way. Exhausted, she was finally forced to lie in the snow after covering the baby with her warm clothing. Next morning, a search party found the mother dead, but the baby alive, warmly wrapped in his mother's woolen garments. Telling the story, the minister further said, "If still living today, her baby would be a man over 30 years of age. He's still living and thinks of how his mother saved his life by stripping herself of her warm clothing. I'm sure he's eternally grateful for his mother's love." Can you imagine what happened when the invitation to accept Christ was given that Sunday morning? A man came to the front of the church and fell upon his knees crying out. He was the son of that woman who gave her life to save her baby boy in a blinding snowstorm over 30 years before. He wandered into the church that morning and, hearing the story, realized for the first time how much God really loved him. On bended knee, he accepted the Christ of glory as his own Savior, and he had his name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. He became a partaker of the new birth. As we come to the conclusion of this lesson on the new birth, I want to personally urge you to think of all the tremendous effort that's been put forth during your individual life so you might eventually come to Jesus Christ and be saved. Everything in your life is a material sense, though you may have worked hard to earn it, or on the other hand, you may have inherited it, was given to you so you might be brought to this moment and realize yourself a lost sinner and be willing to allow God to give you the new birth. May God give you the freedom and the liberty through his Holy Spirit to say yes as a lost sinner to God the Father, who, through the shed blood of his Son on Calvary's tree, can forgive you of your sins and write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And I just want to praise the Lord. He's done that for me. And our next lesson is a right heart.
Hey, you can enjoy the Six Eyes Radio Network. Just call 424-243-9617. Holiness Bibles for the Blind is a missionary outreach to the physically and spiritually blind, providing reference material as well as Bibles, as well as other material to help those who are visually inconvenienced. Also, we educate those in the body of Christ as to the needs and abilities of those who are visually inconvenienced. We would appreciate a love gift from you to help us keep our ministry going. There are several methods you can do to help keep us going. First off, you could visit our website, holinessbiblesfortheblind.org. That's HOLINESSBIBLESFORTHEBLIND.org. Once you put that in your browser and you click enter, go down the home page to where it says Love Offerings. Click that. And you will be on our secure PayPal button and secure PayPal page. You there can use your credit card or PayPal account to give a secure donation to Holiness Bibles for the Blind. Also, you can send a check or money order to Holiness Bibles for the Blind. You send that to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, payable to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, P.O. Box 471, Ashtabula, Ashtabula, Ohio, 44005. Again, send your check or money order to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, made payable to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, P.O. Box 471, Ashtabula, Ashtabula, Ohio, 44005. And God will richly bless you for your love gift, and we here at Holiness Bibles for the Blind thank you very, very much. Amen.
If you'd like to get a copy of this show or any of the shows here at the Six Eyes Radio Network, here's how you can go about doing that. First off, if you have a smartphone or tablet, just go to the podcast section on your smartphone or tablet and enter Six Eyes Radio. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S space R-A-D-I-O. After you've entered that and clicked enter, then you'll see us pop up there. And once we do, just click subscribe. And once you do, you'll have us right there at your fingertips 7 days a week. And you'll be able to listen to us morning, noon, or night, anytime at your desire, any time of the week. If you're an Android or Apple user, you will first need to download the iHeartRadio app. The iHeartRadio app. Once you've downloaded iHeartRadio, then you do the same procedure. You go to iHeartRadio, click on that app. Then, when you're on there, you type in their search box,
Six Eyes Radio, SIXEYES, space, radio, RADIO. Once you've done that, click enter. You'll see us pop up there. Then click subscribe, and you'll have us 7 days a week. And you'll be able to enjoy. Amen. Would you like to help keep shows like this one on the air? Well, there are several methods you can do to help that happen. First off, if you're a PayPal user, go to paypal.com and enter the following email address, 6i6@gmail.com. That's SIXEYES, digit number 6@gmail.com. That's SIXEYES, digit number 6@gmail.com. If you're a Cash App user, go to Cash App, enter $SIXEYES, digit 2, digit 4, again, $SIXEYES, digit 2, digit 4, and in both cases, you enter the dollar amount of your love gift, and we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much, and God will richly bless you. Also, if you wish to send a check or money order to the Six Eyes Radio Network, contact Brother Six Eyes at his email address, 6i6@gmail.com. That's SIXEYES, digit number 6@gmail.com. Again, SIXEYES, digit number 6@gmail.com. In your subject line, write donation information requested. In the body of your email, request the information for the and snail mail information for your check or money order, explaining you wishing to send a check or money order to donate to the Six Eyes Radio Network. And once again, God will richly bless you, and we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much.
Amen. And Ruth, would you let us know who do we got here at the end of the program?
Well, we always got the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, Band of Angels. That's great. And now we just have you and me.
Well, with that, why don't you give us a closing prayer? We'll be out of here. And once again, wanted to remind everybody of tomorrow night's show here at the Six Eyes Radio Network, The Truth of the Matter, where we'll have the Six Eyes Tag Team Preacher's message on forgiveness. So you'll want to join us 9 p.m. Eastern right here at the Six Eyes Radio Network for that message. Amen.
Well, Lord, we thank you for the program. I sure had a great time. And I hope all these people in the 100 countries did, too. And, of course, Kenny, I think, had a blast, too. So you know the prayer requests. You remember them all. So I don't have to say anything, and you know everything anyway, Lord. So we just want to praise and bless your name today and just want to keep on serving you and can't wait to see you in the rapture of the church, sweetheart. We love you. Amen.
Amen, everybody. God bless.